Good morning. It's that back to school time. You're all back. Vacation's over. Time to get back with it, isn't it? Well, it's good to see all of you. We are in our We Are the Church series. Last week, Sam talked about philosophy of ministry, of fellowship. And this week, we're going to dig down a little bit deeper into our vision and our mission. It's important for us to understand what that is and to be able to articulate it. But first, I want to give you a little bit of an update. This past June, we finished out our fiscal year. And so just to let you know how fellowship is doing, what's happening, we spent less money than we budgeted. We spent less money than was given. And I wish our federal government could operate that way. Don't you? So that was all good. We continue to grow. In the last 2 years since we have planted Fellowship Fayetteville, we have grown right around just a little over 25%. And so we continue to grow in numbers as well. But as Sam shared with you last week, we don't measure success by buildings or by numbers of people, all that. We measure success and change lives. But it is important that we keep up with the numbers because it gets an indicator of health. If a baby is the same weight at 10 months as he was at 2 months, then something's wrong, right? We need to figure out what's going on. And so if we stop growing as a church, we need to be able to measure that and to know. And so that's the only reason we look at those numbers, and we want you to be aware of what's going on. Great things have happened this last year. We faced some challenges down in Fayetteville. Fayetteville grew so fast that we outpaced the space that we had for children. We did not anticipate that many adults coming and bringing that many children. And so the elders were faced with building more onto our children's center down there, an expansion for them. And also the parking was chaos with that many people. And so we needed to drive to the west. And so we worked with our neighbor and worked out a land swap and were able to get a drive to the west out to Dean Solomon. All that cost us about $4 million to get that done. And here's the great thing, because of all of our congregations participating and working together and knowing the need, we were able to pay cash for all that. We didn't have to borrow one dime to pay for all that. Yeah. And another thing about our Fayetteville congregation, they continue to bless. They are leading the charge in donations for Fellowship Bentonville. It's really amazing. They are leading the charge for Fellowship Bentonville. Yeah, a few Fayetteville folks here this morning. But you remember, it was the same issue when we were building Fayetteville. The folks in Bentonville were leading the charge as a region in donating to Fayetteville. So it's a wonderful reciprocal action there. So a lot of great things are happening. Speaking of Fellowship Bentonville, let me bring your attention to that and give you an update. We are 2 years into that project. Can you believe that? It's already been 2 years since we started saying, Bentonville, it's time. If you'd been in the last service, this service is pretty full too, but we had people standing on the wall, sitting in front of the sound booth and so forth. Everyone's back. Can you imagine if all the Fayetteville folks hadn't gone down there, if we hadn't done that, where would we put all of them? And it's the same now. We need more space. And so Fellowship Bentonville, we're 2 years into the project. We have $7 million in cash in hand for that project. And I would like for us to be at $10 million by January the 1st. That's a challenge to our body, to all of us. Let's get to 10 million by January the 1st. And I'll tell you why. It's because if we get to 10 million by January the 1st, it will help the elders know when we should begin construction. And we need to make some decisions about that this winter. And so as a body, we need to pull our resources together and do it. I want you to look at this website, fellowshipbentonville.org. Fellowshipbentonville.org. Would you say that? Fellowshipbentonville.org. I want your brain to remember that your tongue said it, so that when you go to look for it, you can find it. And in the future, you'll be able to find updates there and pictures as we begin construction, so on and so forth, about what's going on. But need to remember that, because I asked our finance team if they would change the button on there. When you go to fellowshipbentonville.org, since we have 3 years left in this project, we want to do the same thing we did with Fayetteville. We want to build it, pay for it all in 5 years. We have 3 years left. in this challenge, and we'd like to get it done. And right there, when you get to that website, you'll see a little button that says recurring gifts. If all of us could do something, go to that website, hit that recurring gifts button, and do something. Some can do more than others, but there are many who aren't doing anything right now toward that. Some can do more than others. It's not about equal giving. It's about equal sacrifice. And as we look back at the giving for Fellowship Fayetteville, it wasn't the seven-figure or the six-figure gifts that made all the difference. It was so many people participating, doing something. And if we'll do that, we can get this done. We can get the $10 million by January 1st, and we can get this paid off in 5 years. And so I would just implore you to please help us out with that. And if you have any questions about it, let us know. You may say, hey, I'm not one of those electronic giving people. I'm not trying to exclude you here. You can write a check. That works too. Just say Bentonville on it, and we'll take care of it from there. But I also invite you to go up and visit the campus. You see it there from the overhead, but that's what you would be looking at. You see the turquoise table and the ribbons on the fence. But if you go north on 49, you will go to exit 88B. Don't take exit 88A, or you're going to go to P. Ridge. But take exit 88B. You're going to loop around. You're going to go over the interstate. You'll take the first right there by the come and go. You go 0.7 mile, and you'll come to Tiger Boulevard. You see all these beautiful trees and so forth there on the northern side of Tiger Boulevard, McCullum. That's where our property starts. All those beautiful trees, we're going to leave them just like they are. It's going to be so nice. And then you go up another 0.1 mile, and you'll see this big open field on the left, and you'll see this little fenced-in prayer lot that we have there, so that you can pull up in there and you can pray over the property. There's a bucket there with ribbons in it. You could tie a ribbon on the fence to let us know that you were there. But it's a phenomenal thing. I remember when there was nothing on this property, right here where you are, there was nothing here. It was just one big mud hole. And we would come out here and pray that God would do something, that He would change the world through whoever would gather on this property. Down in Fayetteville, before anything was built there, we would go out there and pray over that property. And almost every day, I'll go by the Bentonville property and pull in this lot and pray, God, would you do something here? Encourage you to do that as well. Because everything you invest, every prayer, every dime you invest, means you get a fraction of the action of what's going on up there. And you need to value that, because it's a great opportunity for all of us. This is our 35th year of existence, our 35th anniversary, and we are just getting started. So let's talk about that just for a moment. What is our vision? Our vision is to change the heart and soul of Northwest Arkansas and the world. That's what we dream about. We want to be a church who changes not only Northwest Arkansas, but the world. Why is that our vision? Because we want people to experience what we have experienced in this place, the life change that has happened for us. I believe that Northwest Arkansas is a better place to live because of the influence of the people of Fellowship Bible Church up and down the corridor. Don't you? I think it's a better place to live. I think our folks have had a positive influence for Christ in our region. And then our mission. How are we going to accomplish our vision? It's through our mission. We're going to produce and release spiritual leaders who know and express the authentic Christ to Northwest Arkansas and the world. Produce and release. That means to identify, train, equip, and release those whom God has called to accomplish something specific in their lives, which is everyone. He's got a purpose for each and every one of us. Spiritual leader is someone who exercises a measure of influence in the life of another person. It's not very complicated. That junior high student who's working in the nursery or helping out in some way, that's a spiritual leader who know and express. That person who feels confident to express their faith, to tell their story, share their faith with other people. As I've often said, as a reminder to you, the doors that we have all over this campus are not so much for us to come in, but for us to go out into the world to tell them the story of Christ. And then the authentic Christ. The authentic Christ. What do we mean by that? The Christ of the Bible. Not some Christ of our own invention. But the Christ who is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him. That's the Christ that we want to teach. Not one who might just suit the world. To know and express the authentic Christ to Northwest Arkansas, and yea, even the world. just recently, in the last couple of weeks, a young couple who came to fellowship years and years and years ago. When they came here, their marriage was failing, their finances were in turmoil. And they came to fellowship hoping that maybe it could help. They'd heard about this church. The first Sunday, they got in their car and the wife was mad. She slammed the door on the car as they were leaving. Gary Harrell had been teaching that morning and he made her mad. She said, "Who does he think he is, Ann?" That's what she said. You've probably said that before. Who does he think he is? Who does he think he is? Gary had taught that morning that you could know for sure that you were going to heaven when you're dying. That's not what she had been taught. But they came back, and they kept coming. And they got involved in a small group, and they got involved in the training center classes, and they began to grow and grow. And then they felt like God might be calling them to do mission work and go overseas. And so a couple of summers ago, they loaded their children up, and they moved overseas to do global work. And they just came back and visiting. It was so good to see them again. And they didn't stay. They loaded up again and they headed back over there. That's what it's all about. We're a greenhouse, a training center, and for them, a launching pad. And you don't have to go across the world to be effective for Christ. You can help be a sender, but your mission may be across the street. Whether it's across the street or around the world, our goal is to fulfill God's call on our life through this mission and vision. Both of them are bathed in the great commandment and the great commission. Let's look at those for a moment. The great commandment, what does it say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Notice how many times the word all is used. It's not a little bit. It's all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these, to love God and to love others. And then the Great Commission, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Who is me? Say the name. Don't be afraid to say the name. It's Jesus. He's the boss. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so what does he tell us to do? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's why we search the scriptures. We study the scriptures. We teach the scriptures, because it's everything that he has commanded us to do. And surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. In other words, we're not going to be alone. We're going to be filled with the Spirit and the empowering presence of Christ in our lives to accomplish the work that he's called us to do. That's what we're about. It's our mandate. We are the church. We are the vehicle that God has chosen to use to reach the world. What do we look like? If someone asked you for a picture of fellowship, what would you send them? That question came to me, and I love this picture that our graphics team put together. That's fellowship. It's celebration itself. It's a large group of you meeting together here to worship as a body, and then we gather in small groups during the week. And whether it's children, which they meet together in small groups on Sunday, or our student ministry, or high schoolers who are meeting during the week, or it's us meeting during the week. We are celebration in cell. It's the essence of who we are, the large group and the small group, and it's not optional. Our elders determined a long time ago that would be the essence of who we are. Celebration in cell. That's a beautiful picture to me, and it encompasses that idea that we love God, we love others, and we make disciples. Say that with me. Love God, love others, and make disciples. But sometimes we lose that fire in our belly. Sometimes over a period of years or wherever it might be, we start to become complacent. We start to sit back and think, well, maybe I don't need to do as much this year as I did last year. You remember that fire that you had when you first accepted Christ as your Savior? I remember when I got up off my knees, the first thing that came to mind were all the people that I knew that I needed to tell. I needed to tell some people so they could have what I had, and I was fired up about it. Do you remember that? Anyone? Yeah. We were ready to storm the gates of hell because we had found something that lifted that burden from us. But then we slow down a little bit. It's to the church at Ephesus, but it's in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven golden lampstands, the churches, that's Jesus as he's stepping out among the churches at the end of time saying, I'm about to take the world back. I'm about to take the world back. And he writes to the church at Ephesus, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and I know how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and have found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. Now he's commending them for the good things they're doing, but then he says, But I have this against you. That's a sobering thought to think the God of heaven has something against us. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. They had become complacent and had lost the fire and excitement that they have once known in serving God. Have you found yourself recently saying or thinking something like this? You know, we've been leading community group for several years, or we've been in community for several years. We're going to take a break this year. We're going to step back. Now, we've been teaching that class for a long time now. It's time for somebody else to do it. We're going to step back. Just kind of put the brakes on a little bit. Take it easy for a while. We've been hosting that student group. We've been working in the nursery. I don't know what the answer might be, but if you're putting it in reverse and going backward, it runs counter what our mission and vision says. That we want to be moving forward in a healthy manner, of course. But we need to be moving forward in what God has called us to do. There's a difference in contentment and complacency. Paul tells us in Philippians 4 that he had learned to be content whatever the circumstance. And that's good, but not complacent. Complacent just to let somebody else do it or to step back and say, you know what, I think I'll just idle for a while. Christian life, when it's working well, does not work best in that way. We're to leave it all on the field when we play. And I've worked with a couple of guys for over a quarter of a century here at Fellowship who left it all on the field. I'm going to ask him to come up on the platform with me now. You recognize these guys, Robert Cupp and Gary Harrell. Would you welcome them back up here? Yeah, it's great to have these guys back up. I asked them if they would come, and they really dressed up today for you. Be back here. It's good to see them again. But I just want to ask you fellas, you know, what fired you up? And Robert was our founding pastor, for those who may not know. This is our 35th year, and so you can kind of figure that up, how old he is. So 35th year is our anniversary, but Robert was our founding pastor, and then Gary came in 1988. I came in 1989. And so what was it that excited you guys most of all in the beginning about the vision and mission of Fellowship, about getting started here?
Well, the first thing I know that I wanted to do, it's expressed just in one word, team, because just to be a part of the team that these guys provided. It was, they loved the Lord, they were committed to the Scriptures, they wanted to do church in a fresh, unique, non-traditional way. And so I can remember a manner of speaking that we always talked about in terms of team, that all of us together smarter than any one of us alone. And so that spirit, it allowed for our creativity as we prayed together, studied together. And so it was just a personal thing at first, but it led to so much more.
Yeah.
It's foundational to so much more.
Gary and I together were so deeply influenced by Bill Bright, the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. And Dr. Bright had a book entitled, Come Help Us Change the World. And for me, the context for that was in starting a church and starting fellowship, is I didn't want to just simply be a part of an organization. I didn't want to give my life to an organization or to a church structure. But I was willing to expend my life for a movement. And that somehow, maybe in the starting of fellowship, that God would be pleased enough and his presence would be so empowering and strengthening that we might do something wonderful in this place and really make a difference in Northwest Arkansas and beyond. And for that, I'd give my life.
Yeah, I was, Ann and I, my wife and I were also, we were part of a parachurch ministry coming through college, a crusade, and then on staff for a couple of years at the University of Tennessee. So we had a kind of a parachurch mindset that it wasn't about building a church, but again, being a part of a movement, reaching people for Christ and then releasing them, equipping them to reach and be released for others. So very much of the same heart and the same spirit in that respect.
So why'd you want to come?
Well, it was just to be a part of what was going on here. But I remember one thing that you said in your office. Well, I remember a couple of things. I remember in 1989 sitting in Robert's office and just talking about the model of ministry and so forth. And one thing Robert said was, hey, we've got enough money for you to be here for a year, and if we don't grow, you're out. There are some phrases you never forget, you know? But we did grow, and I stayed. But another thing he said is we want to be relevant to the culture without compromising Scripture. And I really like that. He said, if we're not different 5 years from now from what we are now, then we're doing something wrong. And that freedom to change and try new things, it was exciting to be in that. And speak to that a little bit, if you would, because I know that was attractional to both of you as well. Let me, to be a part of something like that.
Yeah, my background, I mentioned the cultural Christianity and the traditional church experience that was so much a part of the middle of the last century, you know, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and so forth. And we wanted to do church a different way. That was a compelling desire on our part. I just remember, I know Jesus Christ himself, Matthew 4:19, he's talking to his disciples, or he's calling his disciples, and he's saying, follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men. And these were themselves just fishermen. There was no upper story ecclesiastical appeal to those people. And Christ came to release believer priest, and we wanted to release believer priest as well. Jesus also said that that you, my people, are the salt of the earth. But all the salt and back in the traditional church had been gathered into the four walls of the church house. And we wanted to get the salt out of the salt shaker, if you will. And so used ministry opportunities like community groups and that sort of thing to do just that. So,
well, look at the challenge that we have. The scripture has a timeless quality to it. It is eternal truth. As the scripture says about itself, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. But the challenge in ministry was to take the timeless truth and apply it in a timely fashion to people's lives. And the culture was going to be changing, rapidly changing, sometimes even unraveling at the edges. And we wanted to be able to skillfully and practically apply this timeless biblical truth to the timely issues of the day.
I know you've heard this before. The three eternals. The three eternals are the three things that are going to last for eternity is God himself, God's word, and people. Those are the three eternals. And so when you take those three, and that's your primary focus, and that's your heart, and God, through the Holy Spirit, is ministering his word into his people, and his people are being released to make a difference, then incredible things happen. And to be a part of that is special. And let me just mention this. I want to say thank you on behalf of Fellowship Fayetteville, because Fellowship Fayetteville was birthed right out of this congregation. And right now, this morning, there are a core of several hundred people that perhaps came to know Christ here in this congregation, or were discipled here, or were equipped for ministry right here, and they left. But there are hundreds of college students that have a church in Fayetteville that they didn't have a church before. There are hundreds of young couples that are there with their families and with their children. I don't know, but people, because the seed that was planted here and because of the vision that occurred here within this congregation has been transplanted there, and so there's new life, there's new hope, there's homes that are being held together, children are being loved and cared for. There's a CR ministry, Celebrate Recovery Ministry, where addicts and broken people are dealing with hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Without intentionality and without design and without sacrifice on the part of this body, that body would have never happened. And so I just say thank you.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, these two have retired from showing up at the office every day. But they've not retired from ministry. They're still very much involved. They've redeployed rather than retired. And I thank God for them, for their influence in my life, and for the opportunity, literally for a quarter of a century. I know that sounds old, but for a quarter of a century, we worked together almost every day, hammering it out, and God blessed me so much with that opportunity. And I thank God for you guys, and thank you for coming and sharing with us this morning.
Amen. We love you, man.
Love you, man. And look, I'm still having to clean up after them. They couldn't drag their chairs back 3 feet, you know. It's take care of that for them. If you're healthy, which I believe the things I've shared with you this morning remind you that fellowship is a healthy church. If you're healthy, that's the time to make the difference. And we are a healthy church, and it's time for us to make a difference. I used to have an old football coach, and boy, when he wanted to get your attention, he'd say, "Let's go!" And if you were standing near enough to him, man, you might get his sneaker on your backside when he said that, because he meant it. He didn't want you jogging around. He wanted you running. Let's go. And I'd like to say to our body, let's grow. Let's grow. It's time. While we're healthy, while we have the opportunity, let's grow and let's make the most of what God has placed in our hands. And so first of all, let's grow deeper. Let's grow deeper, deeper in our knowledge of the word and prayer, because that's the nourishment that feeds us. We need the word and prayer. We need that discipline. Paul said to Timothy, "All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, and training in righteousness, so that every one of us may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." That's what the scriptures do for us. They equip us for everything that he's called us to do. So we need to grow deeper. We need to grow wiser. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. We need to be smart about this life. We need to be smart and not build our houses on the sand, but build our house on the rock. We need to hear the words of Jesus in Matthew 6 when he says, "Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But rather lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust doesn't corrupt, where thieves can't break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure this morning? Is it in a house or a car or a 401k or something like that? Let me tell you, it's all going to burn. Don't invest your life in things that are going to burn. Let's invest our lives in eternal things. Things that last forever, to make all our decisions with heaven in mind. And we need to grow broader. We need to go broader. Some of us are growing broader just through the years. You know, it's just the way it is. Stop looking at me. You remember the prayer of Jabez? Jabez prayed, "Oh Lord, that you would bless me indeed." And one section of his prayer was that God would expand his territory. God would enlarge his territory. We need to pray and ask God to enlarge our territory, to give us the opportunity to reach more people and expand our influence, to grow broader. I don't know what that looks like in the future. Right now, God has put Bentonville on our horizon to get that done. But let's go broader, because we can see the effect that it's having in Fayetteville, a tangible effect. Denise and I determined back in 1989 that everything that God wanted us to do, we could do from right here at Fellowship. Fellowship provided us the opportunity to grow and to make a difference for Christ. Then we need to grow stronger. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, "For Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And let me just remind you that the storm clouds are rising all around us. The things that we most surely believe, the core beliefs and core values that we hold to, are no longer respected by the world. They're no longer valued by the world. Back in the 70s, when we read the verses about persecution, we didn't understand what that meant because everybody pretty much believed what we did. But not anymore. I pray for our children, and especially for my grandchildren, about the world that they will grow up in. We need to teach them what this book says. And we need to be strong and stand firmly for what we believe and do so in a spirit of love. God doesn't give us the option of hate. We can't handle hate well. And so he reserves that for himself. We are commanded to love one another. And by this, all men will know that we are his disciples and that we belong to him. We need to grow stronger. And we need to grow together. We need one another. We need one another. And it's in the context of being together in this place and being together in community groups that we find truth, relationships, and accountability to one another. We are not a church with small groups. We're a church made up of small groups. And when we take ourselves out of that mix, when we lose the accountability and the care network the community gives us, then we put ourselves out on the field all alone. And we are ripe for Satan to attack when we're all alone. We need one another. So we need to grow together as a group and as a body. So let me talk to you just about community for a moment and reinforce what John said earlier. We have Discover Fellowship as an option. If you've never become a member of Fellowship and you want to explore that, then Discover is a great place to just learn more about what we believe and why we believe it. Community groups in Springdale and Rogers and Bentonville, you have a wonderful opportunity to just sign up for a group and then also re-engage. I'm so proud of our community pastors. They want Northwest Arkansas, they want Fellowship to be the place where marriages that are struggling are made healthy, and where healthy marriages are made healthier through re-engage. And so it's a wonderful opportunity for you to sign up for that as a couple. How do you do that? Well, it's very clear here. You dial 479-282-2406, and then if it's Discover, you would do hashtag Discover. Now, if you don't know what a hashtag is, I had to work through that myself. It's just the number sign, okay? Just the numbers. I don't know why they just didn't call it number sign. Someone will have to explain me hash at some point. But just hashtag discover. And when you type that in and you hit send, immediately you're going to get a link back that's going to allow you to sign up for a group and discover or community or re-engage. And here's the deal, folks. Here's the deal. On almost a weekly basis, I meet with people who have just been diagnosed as being terminal. A terminal disease. They've been given a prognosis with this much time or that much, and we pray over them and give them care and comfort. And I was meeting with a wonderful gentleman this week who just got a devastating diagnosis. And as I drove away from that appointment with him, I was reminded that we're all terminal, aren't we? We've all been given a prognosis that we're not going to be here forever. We're all terminal. And while we have this little smidgen of time on this earth, it's just so short. It seems like yesterday when I was launching with those guys up on Walnut Street back in 1989. It goes by in a blink. We have just a smidgen of time to prepare for all of eternity. So don't waste it. God has given us fellowship to give us functional structures whereby we can become a part of this place and we can serve together, find out what our gifts are, and someone will help give us a track to run on so that we can make the most difference for Christ while we're here. And then when our race is done, that we stand before our Creator and hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my rest." Won't that be incredible? What a moment. Oh Lord, let the glory of your name be the passion of our church. Let the glory of your name be the passion of our church.